Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, welcome to the studio. It's Monday. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Let's start off the week with, is it fake news?
Is it fake news?
And then there was one. A town in Wyoming is now down to one person after the family of five left for Philadelphia. So now there's one guy left. He's a geologist. And he says, look, it's awkward, but I love it here. I wish I still had some neighbors.
It's just him.
Just him.
Wow.
And the town is Saratoga, Wyoming.
Is it fake news? Now, I've heard of ghost towns where there's none.
Ooh.
But that's mostly in cowboy movies.
But is there a town with one?
I'm going to say it's fake news, Amy.
I'm going real. This is awesome.
All right. And it is
fake news.
That was fake news.
Yeah.
What is the population there?
I don't know.
I don't know his real town.
Oh.
You made all that up?
Yeah.
Look at this
guy.
He's a geologist?
Wow. No. I'm clapping for him.
No, it's all fake.
He's like, his name is Ross. He used to have friends.
Yeah, the Olberts, they moved to Philadelphia.
He's better at doing fake than he is real.
Of course, because
he doesn't even stumble.
Because he's fake news.
Like when he does the bonehead, he's like, it's my coffin.
Because that's real news.
Okay, I think now we have a way to, you know, gauge if it's real or fake.
Hey.
Oh, when he nails it.
Hey, yeah. Saratoga is a real town in Wyoming, and it has a population of 1,600.
There you go. Well, so 1599 moves.
Bobby Bones.
Recognizing people, doing cool things.
It's ICU.
Thanks to a Green Bay, Wisconsin police officer. A little boy's birthday was a whole lot better. Officer Daryl Robinson was on call. He was with the local elementary school when a student wasn't picked up at the end of the day. So just standing there. Both the boy's parents were in jail. He didn't have any other emergency contacts. By the way, it was the kid's birthday.
Makes me want to cry.
So while the police searched for someone to take care of the boy, the officer took him to McDonald's, let him drive around in the car.
Wow.
They found some of the boys of the family. They dropped him off afterwards, but the cop just took him for a couple hours. And
oh, that kid will never forget that.
I know. So, Officer Robinson, I see you. He has like 11 jobs. He drives Uber. He does this job. Now he's taking bartending classes. Did you guys know this?
Wow.
Just started. Yeah, so I kind of want to be a bartender. So a girl at one of the bars, she trains me every Saturday from 10 to noon. So I'm learning the drinks. Right now I'm a mixologist, boys.
Well, you're making the easy drinks like Captain and Coke, and you're not making like the Cosmopolitans and the Dirty Martinis. You're just at a bar where it's like liquor, Coke.
Wait,
boom.
Why go right to the negative?
Right.
Why, like, you're not doing... No.
No, I'm asking if... I'm asking if he's going for a high-class place or just like a bar, just like where you're just...
It's a college bar.
Okay. What's the goal?
Probably on a Saturday night, pick up a shift, do some bartending. I know people that make six figures that do bartending. They'll have their Monday through Friday job. I'm dead serious. CEOs of companies. And I,
wait,
be
you know CEOs of companies that bartend
they
on Saturday.
They only bartend on Saturday and they make six figures.
Yes.
That's not true.
I'm dead serious.
That's a lie.
That's 52 Saturdays.
Because you become social, you meet so many people. It's so great for your personality.
Name one.
One.
And name,
one,
yeah.
One CEO.
I'd like to meet them.
Name okay. one CEO that's bartending on Saturday.
Bobby, do the math. How much is that on a Saturday night? There's only 52 Saturday nights.
No, but that's not the point. He's saying that you meet people and then they hire you as CEO.
And it helps your personality.
I thought he was saying CEOs like as a side
note. No, I don't think Michael Dell's out there going, what do you have? You want a Corona?
Okay, Ray.
Well, anyways, I'm just starting with the breakfast drinks right now. So the mimosas, screwdrivers, your Bloody Marys. And then
The bachelorette parties would love Ray. I bet you could get lots of tips because you're really personable and fun.
Why are you doing it? Just for extra cash or to be a CEO? Like, do you want to run Target?
I kind of like side jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to make that six figures only working Saturdays, we're looking about $1,900 a night in tips.
There you go. That's doable.
You do that. Yeah, I know that a lot of people
I will
that.
Say this about you, Ray. A lot of other people on the show aren't motivated. They say they're motivated, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say you are, and you just go do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody works, just grinds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I say nobody. I'm talking to Eddie. They don't grind like you do, and they're always talking about...
Oh, really?
About,
are you talking about me?
Nah.
Yes, he's talking about you.
I mean, there's a lot of people on the show that don't grind.
Nah, Ray does, though.
Yeah, you'll see me slinging drinks.
Yeah, throwing them up, bottles up, flipping them. Let us know your first shift will come out, all right?
Cocktail.
All
right.
So here's the story. A series of lottery numbers came to a woman while she was sleeping. And she told her husband, and he goes, I'm playing them. Then he played them and won $100,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh. He never plays the lotto.
But he did it specifically because she was like,
yeah,
go play the lotto.
And she was like, no, I had a dream about these numbers. And he was like, well, let's go play them in the lottery. And he did, and they won $100,000. Isn't that crazy? I mean, probably crazy random coincidence. Like, super crazy random coincidence. But still, that's nutty. Sierra in Georgia, good morning.
Good morning, Bobby. Hey, Amy. I love you guys so much.
Thank you. Did you dream something?
I did. I actually dreamed that I had a boy before I was actually pregnant. So, like, a few weeks later, I had the dream. And then, like, a few weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. And I didn't tell anybody about the dream. This is actually my first time ever saying anything. My boyfriend, no one even knows. So, yeah. And
wait, they don't know you're pregnant or they don't know you had a dream?
He didn't know I had a dream.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I have a one-year-old now. So
okay. So he's out there. But so you had a dream before you even knew you were pregnant?
Yes. No, I actually found out a few weeks later after I had a dream, I found out I was pregnant. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, if I find out I'm having a boy, I'm going to be so freaked. And that is what happened. I had a boy.
Do you think, like, your body was like knowing you were pregnant, and so you had the dream, and it, like, how do you feel about that? Do you think like it was some kind of...
Well, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. I was just really freaked when I found out I was having a boy, and I was excited at the same time. So,
well, that's cool. I appreciate you, Clayton in Texas. Well, Clayton.
Hey, how's it going, Bobby?
Hey, dude. So you had a dream. What happened?
Hey, so sad story first. It started off March 11th. Our house burnt down. Everybody got out safe, so that was a great thing. We had lost a cat. And the cat had, we'd been looking for it for a few days. And I was laying in bed and just passed out. And I saw this cat walk across the street right down the road from my house. Well, we kept looking for the cat for a couple more days. And lo and behold, we went right down the road about 9 o'clock at night. And that cat was sitting on the left side of the road and walked right across to the right side of the road, just like I saw in my dream, man. It was one of the craziest things I've ever experienced, to be honest. Wow.
So you dreamed, and then you went and found the cat in the same spot.
Yeah, we actually weren't able to get the cat back because it was a very wooded area, and he, I guess it had scared him so much that he just wanted to live outside after that, but It was the exact same spot, man. It was right by my uncle's house, about a block and a half down from the house.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Wow. I appreciate you. Oh, man. Cindy in Oklahoma. Hey, Cindy, how are you?
I'm great, Bobby. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Where are you in Oklahoma?
I am in Canton, Oklahoma, actually.
Oh, Bally Canton. That's my favorite one. Yeah, it is. Okay, so tell me your dream story.
Okay, so I had a dream that my friend, my very, very best friend, was in a car accident, and she died in my dream. But the good thing was that she was in a car accident the very next day, but she didn't die in it, but she did get hurt. But she's okay now, and I never told her about my dream because that was kind of crazy. But,
wait, so
yeah.
You dreamed she was in an accident, then she had an accident?
Yes.
Huh.
We've been best friends since the eighth grade.
Do you believe that was some sort of like psychic, like some sort of premonition, or do you think it was just random?
No. I believe in all that good stuff.
You do?
Yeah.
Then why wouldn't you tell her then?
Well, because she was kind of not very happy after the wreck, and so it was just not a good thing.
No, before the wreck. Like, if you believe in that, like, if I had a dream, like, Amy, don't go walking on ice because you're going to bust your head. I had a dream. I'd be like, Amy, I had a dream. You walked on ice and bust your head. Don't go bust walking
on
ice. I mean,
in this situation, like, her friend could basically never get in a car again.
Right.
I don't understand what you guys are talking about at this point. But, hey, I appreciate you. The story's getting a little too sad for me right now, so I shall play a song. I wanted, like, I dreamed I met my husband. His name was Jim. And then, you know who I met the next day? Jim. Instead, I got a cat that never returned, an accident. Oh, boy. The Bobby Bones
Show. Let's go.
All right, Monday morning positivity. Time for Tell Me Something Good. Let's go.
Tell me something good.
So Lupe learned CPR 30 years ago, never used it, works for the Fort Worth Independent School District. She was the front desk when a co-worker's wife rushed in with her baby girl, 11-month-old, stopped breathing. Boom, CPR, 30 years, remembered it, saved the baby, called 911, the paramedics got there, like, the baby was saved.
Wow.
Like, had she not went back 30 years and remembered it.
And
baby
11,
CPR.
11 months old?
Baby CPR.
That's different.
Tiny.
It is different.
So delicate.
So, yeah, man, that's crazy. Amy, you're up.
Well, a cop came across two goats and was like, what are these goats doing out? They were cute little miniature ones. So he loaded them up in his cop car and drove around with them while his like unit put up a Facebook post to find the owners. Pictures floated around. Boom. Cop delivered the owners back to a little kid who lost his goats.
No, I kept probably crying. Oh, man. Lunchbox.
Officer Ed wanted to do something to cheer up the community, so he started a program called Compassion in His Pocket, where he carries around gift cards, and when he sees someone that he thinks down on their luck, he just gives them a gift card to like Domino's or wherever the
That's
local
cool.
store. Yeah, Compassion in Your Pocket, Officer Ed, props to you.
Why did Lunchbox throw his paper in the air? He like finishes the story and drops the mic, except throws his story in the air.
Show.
I'll play a song from the very beginning of the song. You have to sing the first line.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So the music will stop right as the song starts, but you have to pick up from where it stops. And I'm just going in order of the sheet. We'll give all three of you guys, Amy, Lunchbox, and our producer, Eddie, a couple shots.
Ugh.
Are you ready, Amy?
Ready.
Sam Hunt, take your time, okay?
I used to drive by your house and how many words?
I don't know if you were looking at me or not.
Yeah.
It's the right
close,
idea.
Close.
Okay.
So, no. Lunchbox.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Pontoon from Little Big Town.
We're going out on the water.
It was not close at all.
What? I got water.
Okay.
Did you know? Because a couple of my friends wrote that song. The first lyric is back this hitch up into the water, but that wasn't how they wrote it originally. Hitch wasn't the word.
Yeah. I think it's in the Bobbycast.
It
isn't
is
it?
In the Bobbycast. Yeah.
What is?
Oh, don't Stop. Figure it out.
Eddie.
Yeah, come on.
Here you go.
Come on.
Dierks Bentley drunk on a plane.
Mm.
I had two tickets on the way to Cancun.
I took 2 weeks vacation for the honeymoon.
I thought it was like...
Nobody got one right. Let's go back around one other time.
Yeah. On.
Amy.
Yeah.
Strawberry Wine, Dina Carter.
I love this song. We were thirsty for knowledge.
Oh,
we
were working through college.
Take it! Is that the next verse? And he...
My grandpa's farm.
I thought he had a car.
Listen, here's an... Oh, well, the next line was...
I was thirsting for knowledge.
Yeah. And he had a car.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, lunch. Stop.
Lunchbox, you don't know anything.
I know that song. No. Bring it on. No. I know that song.
He did okay. not know that.
He didn't know.
Okay, I didn't know that song. You're right.
Here, Lunchbox, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Low Cash, I love this life, okay?
Here we go. Man. I'm going outside tonight.
I love my boots broken.
Guys.
No, I won the game last time.
For sake of the game.
Pack. Yeah.
Do we keep him in?
I won the last time.
Yeah, we all are in. Just stand.
But he just yells words.
It's fine.
Yeah,
no, I won the game last time. You realize
never
it.
Close.
Okay.
Never.
Eddie, ready?
Yeah.
Eddie,
yeah.
You can win this.
Okay.
It's the last one.
But don't, because it's fun.
But it's the last one. Anyway.
No. Somebody has to win it, Amy.
One more time.
Please win.
Come on.
Softball.
Oh, you had Dina Carter. Stop.
Yeah.
The
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Went to college.
Barefoot Blue Jean Night.
Got it. I got it.
Eddie stood up.
I'm taking my shoes off.
He's taking his shoes off. All right. Here you go.
Full moon shining bright.
A full moon shining
that's
bright.
That's it, that's the winner. There he is. Play it.
What a Lunchbox.
That was literally the easiest one on the sheet.
Amy, no. Yeah, you had Dina Carter Strawberry Wine.
Yeah, but I knew.
Well, Amy, my song was playing.
Hit me with one more. Come on.
There are no more. I just said that.
Amy, my song was playing.
Oh, sorry. Dance. Arriba.
Oh, my goodness.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Florida. A man had his iPhone stolen, reported it to police, so police were like, how can we get this thief? They hit FaceTime, and the thief answers the FaceTime.
No. Hello? Uh-oh, not good, not good.
And so they snapped his photo, and they posted it on the Facebook page and said, do you know this guy? He stole an iPhone, and he was turned in.
That's funny. You know, they were scrambling to make that screenshot, too. Like, oh, no. Yeah, that's funny.
On Lunchbox, that's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Come on, Bobby Bone Show.
All right, where'd you get trapped? And I asked that because there's a guy working on an ATM. The thing shuts on him, and he's trapped inside the ATM. And so people will come up, and he passes out through the receipt hole notes. They're like, help me!
Yeah, how
help
crazy.
Me!
You're trying to get cash, and then you're like, what?
And
there's a human in here.
Screaming at people. So where have you been trapped? Hey, Timmy! What's happening, buddy?
Sir. No, what's going on?
Tell me where you were trapped.
Well, I was working on my car. I was like 18, and it was like 12 years ago. And I was working on my car, and I had it jacked up. And where I had it jacked up, it was real soft, and the jack fell. And the car come down and pinned me under the car.
Oh.
And my and I couldn't. I was in the dirt. It wasn't a concrete or asphalt, but I couldn't get my shoulders around to like dig out from under myself so I could get out because my shoulders were pinned back. But my cousin came by and she jacked the car up and I was able to get out from under it, and it was about 2 hours.
Dude, you're lucky you're not dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Timmy, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever dream about that? Because that's a traumatic experience.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Woo, man. As Jerry Clower used to say, woo-wee. Once at work, I got trapped in the storage closet where all the prizes are.
Yeah, you did.
For 2 hours. I went in and the door shut, and I was like, I couldn't get out, and the doors were really thick wood, and I was banging. Nobody could hear me.
The back of the building.
And luckily, I get to work hours early. And finally, when everybody else showed up, they were like, where's Bobby? And I was like, help me! And finally, someone was like, what's that noise? It was me.
Stuck in the equipment closet.
Yeah, I was stuck in there with like all the free CDs and koozies. It was like prize galore. All right. Amy, where were you trapped?
In an elevator.
Yeah?
When I was coming to work once. but I got out. I wasn't like trapped forever. No one had to rescue me, but I did have to press the button and like it calls someone. Oh, remember, I brought in audio.
That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like calling 911, even if you need it. It still feels weird.
Yeah, because you're in the elevator and then they're like, hello? And I was on my way to work and it was so early in the morning. I feel like it had been transferred to someone who was working from home. Like, you know how calls get transferred to maybe someone that's at home and they're like, hello.
Yeah,
I'm like,
what?
I'm trapped in an elevator.
They're like, Kenneth, why are you calling at this hour? It was like, no, it's not Kenneth, it's Amy and I'm in an elevator.
Yes, help me.
Okay. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Talking about getting trapped. What do you think?
Yeah, so my husband and I moved into a new apartment complex that has a gated parking deck. So I drive into the parking deck, and my husband's outside bringing in groceries, and I park my car on the 8th floor, and I get out, and I cannot find the exit anywhere, like to get out of the parking deck or to get into the apartment. I can't find any doors anywhere. So I'm walking up and down, and I look out over, and I see my husband walking on the sidewalk. So I yell out to him, can you help me? I'm stuck in this parking deck. And he just looks up and starts laughing. He doesn't even try and help me for at least 15 minutes.
And how did you get out?
He finally found the door, but I was just stuck walking up and down this parking deck trying to find an exit, and I couldn't get out.
That Seinfeld episode where they can't find the car, and they're just walking out. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Brittany. Appreciate you for calling.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Brittany in Richmond, Virginia. Let me do another one. Hey, Lauren in Iowa City. And Lauren, let me tell you about Iowa. I love it. I've only been one time. It's one of my favorite places. I love it. It was amazing. Anyway, enough about me. How about you?
So I got stuck in a walk-in freezer at work at Kinnick Stadium, the football stadium in Iowa City. I was catering there. We were doing like catering for the suites upstairs, and I went down to go get something from the freezer, and it sealed.
Oh no!
It's like that Brady Bunch episode where they get stuck in the meat locker, that freezer. Wow. So wait, did you worry you were gonna like die?
Yeah, you know that like flight or fight thing. I definitely like went into like I'm gonna die here. Like, I kind of just like gave up. It had been kind of a while, and I had my phone, but my boss upstairs wasn't answering, so I just assumed that this was how I was gonna go.
You couldn't call anybody else?
Yeah, in retrospect, I could have called anybody in the world.
That's my thought was, okay, the boss didn't answer. I call anybody. I just hit numbers. Maybe the elevator guy from Amy's Elevator answered. Kenneth, what? No, I'm trapped in the ice machine. Thank you for your call. Hey, Lauren, appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
All right.
So I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to do I Felt Stupid When. Okay, blank. So I was at the gym on Saturday. And I was feeling a little down because I have whatever little illness this is. And I wasn't really feeling like I was as pumped. I wasn't going as hard as I normally do. And I was on the treadmill and he had me doing bear crawls on the treadmill. Which means you're on the treadmill as it's going. And he went up and up and up. And all of a sudden I couldn't do it anymore. And so I just jumped, fell in the fetal position and got shot off the treadmill. In front of everybody. Probably flew 3 feet. Because I was on like 5 and I was going.
You're like that Taylor Swift commercial.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I was, except I was. And so instead, I just turned over on my shoulder, braced my head, and it shot me off the treadmill. And everybody looked and kind of laughed at me. So I felt pretty stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I felt stupid when. Now, if you'd like to call and share one of those, I'd love for you to. And if nobody does, I'll just feel stupid alone as usual. That happened, though. I didn't get injured. I'm sore.
Thank goodness.
I landed on my shoulder. Oh, I braced for impact pretty solid. I covered my head. But it's a pew! And everybody looked and laughed. I was on the treadmill, and I slipped, and I got thrown off the treadmill, and I felt stupid. Tiffany in Ohio, what'd you do?
I was coaching a cheer clinic, and I hopped up onto the stage to show the girls some of the motions for the choreography that we were doing, and they had their papers scattered across the stage, and I took a step back and went flying off of the stage, fell off in front of the entire school basketball team, cheerleaders, parents, coaches, broke my wrist, and all of the girls, the cheerleaders, had to carry me, help carry me to the car.
Oh, oh no. So you slipped on paper.
I did.
That's a real thing.
Oh, no.
It was awful. And I never broke a bone until I was an adult.
Dang. Welcome to adulthood. Dang, Tiffany. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you. Hey, Sarah in Kansas.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
I was running late and I fell up the stairs. I thought I was by myself, but I turned around and the owner of our company was there.
You fell up the stairs?
Yeah, like I tripped, like my foot slipped and I fell kind of up the stairs. And I turned around and there was the our boss.
Maybe they see you as more human now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. And I mess up, people go, oh, he's more human. He's not perfect as everybody said, because everybody's, you know, everybody says.
Yeah.
No, nobody says that? No. All right. Hey, you're on the air. Hello. What's happening?
Hello. I just had one of the Eiffel Stupid stories for Bobby.
Yeah, go ahead. It's Bobby right now. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling. Share your story with me.
Well, this one's going to make Bobby feel great because it's another treadmill story. But I was on the treadmill at the gym next to my son, who's an athletic teenager, and I was trying to be cool. And I couldn't figure out why he was going faster than me, so I lean over while I'm running to look and see what his was set on, and I hit the edge and shot off the back.
Oh, man, that stinks.
Running and pretended like he didn't know me.
Oh, no, he just ignored it?
Oh.
So he looked back, and I wasn't hurt, but he looked back and laughed and just kept running.
That stinks, and it's funny, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys, too. You make me laugh every morning.
Thank you very much. Oh, Laura, last one in Houston. Go ahead.
I fell down some stairs while playing Pokemon Go.
Oh, no. You were looking at your phone?
Gosh.
Yep. It was dark.
And you were playing Pokemon Go. The double.
Yes.
Man. And so are you okay?
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
Okay, good. Because yesterday I've been like, you're still playing Pokemon Go? But I appreciate you. Amy, do you have one?
I was trying to think of one, and probably the most recent thing that happened to me was at yoga. We were supposed to, like, say what we were grateful for, but I missed the part where the teacher said, say it quietly to yourself.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You said it out loud?
And I said it out loud.
So they're like, say it quietly. So you go, I'm grateful for, you know, what the Lord's given me in all my life. But instead you went, I am grateful.
Yeah, I was like, grateful for family. And everyone else was like, but I mean, luckily everybody's eyes are closed. I don't even know if they knew I said it.
Oh, they knew. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me say, I'm looking at the phones. I'm shocked at how many people have an escape fund.
Okay, yeah.
An escape fund is you put a little money to the side just in case you have to escape your marriage.
Oh.
She said, the woman who I read the story about, said she was perfectly happy, but that every woman should have one just in case. Now I take it and go broader than women.
Yeah. I mean, do you think she's speaking to women that aren't working? So then does it have to be more shady because they're having to like sneak money into a fund?
No, she says, one of her friends said, hey, just put away X amount a month into your escape fund. And so she started doing it and she's happy. And
sounds hopeful. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Let's go over to Cody first.
Marriage is great, but...
Cody in Alabama. Hi, Cody.
What's going on, Bobby?
What do you think about this, buddy?
I actually had one. I had one and had to use it.
Hmm.
I didn't put it in there with hopes of a divorce, but I just put, you know, some rainy day money away on the side and wound up having to use it for a divorce.
It rained.
Mm. Yeah, it rained hard.
Yeah, hard. And that rain took away half his stuff.
Oh.
Not really.
No. But, Amy.
Yeah.
Do you have car insurance?
I do. Yeah. Don't even talk.
Do you want
this?
No.
This is like a prenup.
No, can I just say something without you yelling at me?
Yeah.
If I can have the talking stick for a second?
Okay. Yeah, you can. It's your show.
What? It's our show.
Okay.
Okay.
But.
Hey, okay, boss.
If you say, why would you do that? You don't want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with having car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case. You don't want to have a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, isn't it nice to be covered?
Yeah. For that rain.
You don't
day.
Want to die.
Yeah.
But just in case you do, isn't it good that somebody else is covered? That's all I'm saying. Kelly in North Dakota, you're on the air.
Hey.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
What do you think about this escape fund?
I think that every person should have a little bit of something set aside for them. And if they need it as an escape fund, then yeah, that's what it is.
Question.
Do you think... Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Man, this is sick.
It's your show. Go ahead.
Talk. Okay. Does the other person know about this fund, or is it open? Because a prenup, you both know about it. It's been signed. You're all in the know. But if you're just going to...
My husband knows.
Oh, okay. So does
he... Because he's a sole provider. Like, I work part-time.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, what?
So he's a sole provider and he's okay with you taking some of the money in case one day y'all don't work out.
I work part-time.
Oh, okay.
And so I do interior painting on the side. So when I have a big job, I put $100 away. And he knows that randomly I just take a little bit of my money and I just put it away.
But he knows it's for that, not for like clothes.
Well, before we were married, he knew it was for that. Now, we bought a boat with some of it.
There you go.
And I put it away.
Yeah.
And I agree with Cody. It's like a rainy day fund. And if that rainy day happens to be an escape, then... It has to be an escape.
Okay.
You can call it a rainy day fund.
Right. It could be for any kind of rainy day.
In your mind, though. Because one of my friends just texted me who got divorced recently and goes, hey, yo, escape funds aren't legal. I tried.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't call it
what?
That. It's got to be a different account.
Rainy
and
day
you can't
fund.
Even hide money. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, people, it's, as long as you know about it, does it make it more okay?
Paige.
I'm going to go with a strong no. In my opinion, you should take whatever money that you're feeling you need to save on the side in case of a divorce and buy some counseling for your marriage.
That's right.
Boom. But what if it's over? Like, what if the counseling is done and you've exhausted it?
Okay, then you cannot call it an escape fund. I see what you're saying. You know.
Okay, like, piggy bank. We'll call it piggy bank.
Okay, but if you're just putting money aside in case any crappy thing happens in your life and you just so happen to use it for that, I'm okay with it. But setting aside money strictly for just in case my husband decides to leave me, I'm not okay with.
Okay, and I appreciate your opinion.
Hold on. If he's the one that's causing the leaving, then yeah, it might be good to have a little extra money.
Oh, a little hot sauce over there.
I don't know. I can't decide. I guess if you both know about it, it just seems so not like hopeful. In the right direction.
I guess I'm just a Southern Louisiana Baptist.
No, I feel you. I'm with you. I'm just like...
Hey, she agrees with you.
I do agree with you. I'm just also... Sometimes it seems like, what if you never... I mean, some people are in some really hard situations where they might need a little escape fund. So I don't want to totally blanket hate it.
You don't blanket hate it. Hey, Paige, okay. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you later. Hey, let me do another one. Hey, Heather and Austin, what do you think about having an escape fund in a marriage?
I had an escape fund. I had a secret account. My husband started turning really mean, and so I started putting money aside and plans to leave him. And I did it, and I've exhausted all of those funds.
So you would recommend what?
You know, you should always have money set aside because you never know who you marry until you really divorce them.
Dang.
Wow.
You never know who you marry until you divorce them.
And then the true side comes out.
I just went through a 1-year long battle with my ex-husband, and it's finally over, but it was expensive.
That just tells me this, Heather, as I'm listening to you. I feel like Heather knows. She's been through... It's hard for me to go to somebody and take advice if they haven't screwed up a lot in what I'm asking about. So it'd be hard for me to go to a priest and talk about marriage because he's never been married.
Oh.
So that would be tough for me. So that being said, I feel like someone like Heather who's been through the ringer in a divorce, maybe when I find the person I'm going to marry, I divorce them, see how that's going, and if I really feel good about it, get remarried again. Like, that's the test.
Because you'll never know unless
you divorce
them.
Because I'll never know who I'm married until I divorce
them.
That's a good philosophy.
Dang. I'm kidding a little bit, Heather, but thank you for your story. I appreciate that. And you kept money.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. I appreciate you. I have so many calls that say they do this that I don't even want to put anybody else on because I'll go to court and play this tape back. And I don't want to be part of any lawsuit, frankly. So there we have it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are doing it.
Yeah. I think if there's like concern of safety or something, it's a little bit different, but just overall, like, life is great, but...
But I'm good with always, regardless, not even relationship.
But you would also
be
good.
Having funds. Like, hey, and if she wants to have one, great. I have no problem with that. I don't think I should get anything that she doesn't or she gets anything I don't.
Okay.
But if she wanted to do it, great.
That's fair. Yeah. And y'all talk
you probably need an escape fund from me. You probably need a tunnel out of the bottom of the house.
I
need
have
a literal
one.
And figured. Yes, yeah. Everybody has one around here.
It's my Bobby escape.
I pay Amy's escape fund too. That was part of our deal. I'll fund your escape fund.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How would you feel about me? Not if, but when I get a prenup.
What do you mean feel about you? I'm not going to judge you for it.
How would you feel?
I'd feel like, wow, I really want to see you trust someone someday. And I feel like if you ever do decide to get married, that person has had the ultimate trust that none of us have ever experienced. So I would like to see you just fully just go all the way, you know?
But it is all the way. Like, we're never getting divorced, so it's not going to matter.
Listen to you. You never get a divorce. It's not going to matter. Don't get the prenup.
But it's never going to matter, so why not get the car insurance? I'm getting a wreck.
It's not going to matter.
Unless another car sideswipes me and I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
Life.
So confused.
But I feel like Bobby's marriage is going to be more like, okay, look, I'm going to live here. You live there.
We're going to eat at this time. We're going to be done at this time.
I'm going to have this bank account. You have that bank account. Basically, we're going to live separate lives. We're going to be married.
Sign here. Give me a kiss.
But she's not going to be judgmental. That's it. Oh. Yeah, she's not going to judge.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones. Walmart had to refund somebody who bought an iPad, but when they got home and they opened the box was full of flour.
Wow.
You know how people steal stuff and then replace the boxes?
That's great.
Yeah, Walmart refunded the money. She said she bought an iPad, and then what she got in there is full of flour. Can you imagine getting home being so excited? Because I know what it's like. You know, you open that box, you're like, oh my goodness, it's time. And you're like, and then you probably go, they're not going to believe me.
Yeah, there's no way.
Like, there you go, there's no way they're going to believe me. And so she says it looks like someone cut in the packaging, and Walmart gave her the $400. And they say, if this happens to you, as a general, let them know immediately.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah, don't think they're going to doubt you. Just go for it.
Just go for it.
Yeah. That one person, remember not too long ago, that bought that big old vacuum from Target and they opened it up and it was like trash and...
Oh, yeah. Like, it was all just garbage.
Yeah, garbage. Like, just filled with stuff. Oh.
So, someone's going into the store and stealing it and then replacing it, or are they taking it home and bringing it back?
I think they're taking it home, filling it up, or taking it to their car, filling it up, and then... taping it back up and returning it.
I would say you steal it at the store.
I would too, because I would think when you bring it back, you
look
inside of it.
Yeah, when I worked at the store, you would always look in the box when someone returned something.
Well, how do you walk out with a vacuum?
How do you steal anything?
People are good.
People are.
Okay.
There was a baby that weighs 62 pounds, right? It's 10 months old.
Oh,
wow. It's a 62 pound baby.
That's a big baby.
Right. And they can't stop the baby from getting fatter.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
And so doctors, like, they don't know why he continues to put on weight.
Has he been exposed to mold toxins?
Now, stop with this mold toxins thing.
I'm serious. It's a thing. I watched a documentary.
At birth, he weighed 7.7 pounds. At 2 months of age, he weighed 22 pounds.
That's a big jump.
Is it? Because I don't know much about
babies. Yes! Yeah,
it's a huge jump.
Like, my son's 7. He doesn't even weigh that.
22 pounds? Sure he does.
Oh, I hope he doesn't.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. For sure.
Then over the next 8 months, he gained a staggering 39 pounds. So at 10 months old, he weighs 62 pounds.
I wonder what that is. That is crazy.
They're treating him for like some sort of childhood diabetes.
Wow.
Now? But I don't know. Like when a baby's... How big were your babies, Eddie? When you
born at... One was 7.5 or something, and the other one was almost 8. So they were around the high 7s.
And normal is that?
Yeah, pretty normal.
Do you see the guy? He went into a liquor store, and he was like, give me all your money. And they took... And the person working the counter took a bottle of Bailey's and busted it over their head.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and like...
Oh.
I was at the register here, and I was counting it down, and a guy walked in. He had on a hat and sunglasses, and he said, give me the money. I didn't think much of it, and I kept counting the money down, and he came closer, and he came at the register, and he was like, no, give it to me. He was pulling on the register that way, and she was pulling on it this way, and I just grabbed a bottle of Bailey's Pumpkin Spice, and I looked at Sarah, and she just said, hit him, so I hit him over the head with it, and he just stopped, and he backed up, and he turned around and walked out the door. Oh, I wouldn't be afraid to hit him again, no.
Wow. It sounded like a plug.
Yeah, just good job by Sarah.
Like Bailey's Pumpkin Spice.
I'll $7.99 and places that
it's seasonal. Yeah.
Let's go. Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Amy's been laughing at herself over there. It's now time for the morning corny, which she has built up in the room. Here we go.
The morning corny.
How did DEA agents start all of their jokes?
How do DEA agents start all of their jokes?
Narc, narc.
That's very funny.
I know.
That was the morning corny.
That's very funny.
Yeah, thanks.
I will give you the baby. You give me the country star.
Oh, okay.
See how many of these you can name. Memphis.
Jason Aldean.
Correct.
When the lights come on, everybody screaming, ladders in the sky, and everybody singing.
Olive Pearl. That's the baby. Olive Pearl.
Oh, Pearl. Jake Owen. And
correct.
I have no idea her real name, but her first name was Olive. Interesting.
Pearl, dude.
Got it.
He calls her, dude. Tennessee. Who has a baby named Tennessee?
Really?
Tennessee Hawkins is the whole first and middle name.
Oh, Brad Paisley.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. You're thinking of Huck. You're thinking of Huck.
Oh, is it Huck? I thought it was Hawk. Okay. No. Oh.
Tennessee Hawkins. Nothing?
No.
Eric Church.
You can catch me.
I did know that. Of course. He would have a cool name like that.
I'll give you a couple kids from this artist. Audrey, Gracie, Maggie. Whose kids? Audrey, Gracie,
I'm thinking of
Maggie.
Audrey, Gracie, Maggie. Three kids. Audrey, Gracie, Maggie. Elvis.
No. Tim and Faith.
Oh. Okay.
Close. Yeah, close. That's how you speak. Sunday Rose.
Keith Urban.
That a girl.
I'm telling you, you don't need that guy.
Let's do one more.
Okay.
Whose baby is Isaiah Michael? Isaiah Michael.
Isaiah. Give me a hint.
It's a country artist.
I know that part. I need more.
Young.
Isaiah.
Maybe a year old.
Maybe my age? A year older than me?
No, maybe a year old.
Oh, the baby's year old. I wanted a hint for the country artist.
Her name rhymes with Rary Rummerwood.
Oh, Carrie Underwood. Yeah. She can hear those shells
ringing. Amy takes the hint, let her lay and goes, oh, Carrie Underwood. Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
That is okay,
I think you did okay at baby
I
names.
I did not that great, yeah.
Does anyone recognize you with your kids? Since you're the white mom with the two black children, are they like, oh, you're Amy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty hard to end their accents. They're like, Sometimes they even say, okay, are you, they put the pieces together with the accent and we look different. I'm like, yep.
How's the English coming?
Good.
Better? I mean, are you, since they're immersed in it now, do you feel it coming on, 7 and 10 years old, catching it?
Yes. You heard in the video, even my son saying, what up, Bobby? Like right away. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter now, I think she's starting to like more of the English to where she'll tell me more of what my son is saying. Like last night, he was being a little feisty and saying something in Creole that I knew was. And I used to ask her, what is he saying? And she would kind of hold back. And now she loves to tell me in English what he's saying.
Writing him out?
Yeah. I'm like, yes, that's my girl.
Here's something weird. Morgan number two, who will bring the web to you. You know, she's our web girl over there.
Ooh, I like that.
She has this weird thing about her neck. Does anyone know this?
No.
Where she has this fear, and she's like, you don't touch her neck because she thinks someone's going to stab her or she's going to die from her neck.
Yeah, I have this super, irrational fear. Like, I think I'm going to die from choking or, if anybody even comes near my neck, I, want to punch them in the throat. Like, I just don't even want you near my throat.
So your boyfriend he's not allowed by your neck.
No, if I really start to trust you, I can, ease into it, but it takes a lot for me to get there. Like, if I get needles or, if I'm ever at a doctor, I'm, sitting there holding my neck because I'm afraid something's going
to
happen.
What happened in your life to make you think your neck was vulnerable?
Nothing. Nothing has ever happened to me that I would have a problem with my neck. It's
what
just
about during birth? Do you know if anything crazy happened to your neck during birth, like your umbilical cord was wrapped around your neck or anything?
What's happening
right now?
This could be something, you guys.
Go ahead.
Well, that's my thing. You need to talk to your mom and your whoever delivered you about your birth and maybe see if something traumatic happened around your neck.
Let me ask you this, and not to be too personal, but have you ever been attacked by a giraffe?
Good point.
What?
No.
I'm just saying, let's just get down to it.
I mean, make fun of my thing, but you can experience trauma during birth and it will come back in your adult life and affect you in different ways.
I had to wear a neck brace. I had a football injury in 11th grade. So I had to wear a neck brace for like 3 weeks and they called me Myrtle the Turtle. It was terrible because I couldn't move. Yeah, because I had a neck brace. They were like, oh, it's Myrtle the Turtle, everybody. It was a terrible nickname.
Oh my goodness.
So if I walked up behind you and just was like, hey, and put my hand on your like shoulder neck, you wouldn't like that?
No, like I'd probably like hit you in your gut. It's like a knee-jerk reaction to anything. Like if something comes in my neck, I'm like, attack you.
Anybody else have any other rational fears? Like, and we don't have to say it right now, but just period. Irrational fears that you always are concerned. Oh, that's it for me. Think about that.
Okay.
Talking about irrational fears, because Morgan number two, our web girl, says, I can't have anybody touch my neck. Lunchbox has one.
I think a snake is going to jump up through my car engine and bite me.
Yeah, he's always thought that.
Mm-hmm. It just scares me. I always have that thought that some way it's going to just go through the engine and get me while I'm driving.
I have an irrational fear that I'm going to be late somewhere.
That is true.
Oh, come on.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's never happened, but
that's so irrational. At least you're admitting you're irrational.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Shantara, is that your name?
Yes.
Thank you for calling. What's going on? Tell me your irrational fear.
I have a super irrational fear of crickets.
Why?
Brothers. Well, I have an awesome older brother who used to torture me with crickets. He would lock me in closets and throw little crickets in there one by one.
What in the world?
He's an awesome brother, but yes, he was one of those older mean brothers.
Holy, I'd be scared of crickets too.
Wow.
Shantara, thank you for the call and that therapy session. I appreciate you. And you go talk to somebody about that.
Mm-hmm.
Cricket nightmare. Samantha in Williamsburg, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? You have an irrational fear?
I do. So I have a couple, but the one that can relate with the neck is I'm scared that someone's going to cut off my neck when I'm sleeping. So I have to sleep with the covers up to my head. Even if I'm like really hot, it's so stupid.
That's good because there's no way an axe will go through a comforter.
No.
No, there's, yeah, I'm with you. But, thank you for that.
Ridiculous.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for calling the show. That's really cool you called. I mean, it's crazy that why you called, but it's really cool that you called. Hey, Renee in Albany.
Hi. My irrational fear is people touching my wrist. And I don't know why or where it came from, but I have this crazy phobia. I actually passed out in high school doing a biology lab with taking my pulse, and it was because I was touching my wrist.
Wow. I wonder what it is way back in the day that made you worry about your wrists.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it might have been when I was a kid. I had motion sickness traveling, so I used to wear those like C-bands, and they had like a little ball on your wrist. And they always made me uncomfortable. So I don't know if that's where it came from, but I hate it so much.
Well, Renee, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Wow.
I appreciate that. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you. Well, I don't really have anything super irrational. I'm scared of needles, but I think that's pretty common. I've passed out a few times from needles, and it's never the needle itself. It's always right before I get it, and I'm so tight. Or it's always when Amy chases me with one after work.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two things. She's like, I got you, boy. Bobby, come here. So Amy has two children. She went through the adoption process for 5 years. They've now lived here for a month.
Yeah. It's been almost 5 weeks.
How's that adjustment coming at 5 weeks?
I think sometimes I feel like we're taking two steps forward and then we take four steps back.
Four steps back.
Woo.
Yeah.
You know, us also trying to figure out and then us realizing mistakes we're making, even if it's a week later, man, that's not how we should have handled that. Or because we're not, you know, our kids are coming from a different circumstances than if they had been in our loving home for, you know, my daughter's 10. Let's say she had been nurtured and loved by us for 10 years. So sometimes we approach things as if though that's the case and it's just not. But that's the natural instinct to treat her like that, but it's just not. We have to have a different approach, and we're educating ourselves better late than ever, but trying to figure out the best way for them to feel safe and loved.
What's been the most rewarding and the most difficult?
The most rewarding for me is times where it is really calm and like we've been a family forever and we're just loving things are happening. Like I had a moment the other night after they both got out of the shower. We shower before bedtime so that way they can get to school in time and don't have to mess with it then. And they both needed lotion and they came up to me with the bottle, mom, lotion. And I just sat there and put lotion on their legs and like it was so quiet and loving and it felt like they trusted me to put lotion on their skin, which I know that sounds weird, but they haven't had that. I didn't even know you were going to ask me about this and I didn't even know this would be my answer, but that's what came to my mind. Is that moment right there was really special. And hearing them truly say mom and dad when they really, there's times where I know they're milking it a little bit, like mom, dad. There's also times where it's hard and they call us by our first names intentionally to be, because they know that it's part of the attachment issue and they're rebelling a little bit with it. But I don't blame them for it. I don't mean they're rebelling in a bad way, but they're fighting. They're resistant. They're resisting it. And then that's the best. Would you ask me the worst? Like,
what's been the most difficult
adjustment? The most difficult is...
not the worst, but...
Okay, sorry. The most difficult would be trying to understand what they're going through and I can't. And at night, I just want them to like get in their bed and feel safe and sleep. Because why wouldn't you? You have this big comfortable bed in this room that we got just for you, but they don't want it and they don't feel, I don't think they feel that secure right now. I don't think they fully grasp what we have to offer them and what we want to give them. And I don't blame them for not, they've never had it in their whole life. So nighttime is really hard. And then that leads to lack of sleep. I think for me, just trying to balance that, but just know that this will pass. And maybe I go a year with having to just sleep with him or her, mostly her. And that's okay. Maybe I just have to do that. So we'll see. Like last night, I don't think I slept last night. It's probably why I'm emotional right now. I'm just tired, but I'm not complaining. She just really wanted to sleep on the floor. Anyway, it was this whole thing. And then I couldn't get her to change her mind, but I wanted her to have the choice. Like, she's never had choices. So I said, okay, I'm not going to make you sleep in the bed. Where do you want to sleep? She went, I want to sleep right here and I want you next to me. So I just have to say, okay. So there I am sleeping on the floor all night. That's difficult, trying to give them choices and give them have a voice. They've never had a voice. And in our home, I want them to feel like they have a voice, like they deserve that. They deserve to feel like any other person that's grown up with a home and a loving family and a voice.
I know you're not complaining about lack of sleep, but I am.
Where are you going with this? Because I'm sure it was not here. I mean, I don't know.
And let me say this. That's how you know that nobody knows what's going to happen on the show except for me. Amy didn't know I was going to talk about that. Nobody ever knows what we're going to talk about on the show except for me. So we can keep it as real and as human as possible. Because otherwise, you could go, let me read my script. Bobby, you are so funny. Thank you for writing this. You know, it's just... No, I just wanted to know.
It is great. I will say, I feel like we prepared ourselves a little bit, but now even 5 weeks in, I mean, any free time I've had the past yesterday and the day before has been podcasts of families that are adopting kids from hard places and or fostering, whatever the case that may look like. I mean, I'm looking for any and all resources just to be as educated as possible because I don't want to mess this up.
Well, I appreciate your vulnerability and how open you are, and so do our listeners. And I don't think you're going to mess it up. I don't think you can mess it up. I think you can just do
what
you do.
We can by not trying to inform ourselves on how to give them what they need.
But I don't think it's messing up. I think you're learning as you go, and you're going to mess up, and for sure you're going to mess up. That's not messing up. That's just going through the process.
Yeah. Okay. True.
Boom.
I'll drop that nugget on you.
But hey, can you give me that tissue?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Give her the whole box.
Take the whole box.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, I've also adopted. This is my little baby, Bobby.
Baby Bobby.
I keep it in here.
She too survived the hard. From hard place.
Eddie threw it off top of a building and Lunchbox missed her, and so I've adopted her. And now she sits in the studio. And last night was rough.
Yeah.
For us, because she sat here and I was at home in the bed. So. I come and see her though.
That's amazing that she'll do that.
Like, yeah. And then she's good.
You don't even have to feed her.
No.
It's crazy.
What a good kid.
She doesn't cry.
I'll put her on my Insta story. Mr. Bobby Bones. I'd have to change her clothes. It's all good. Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show. Kind of a personal dilemma for Lunchbox to buy life insurance for himself because his wife suggested it. So I guess you think she's going to try to off you or something?
Well, I had never heard anything about life insurance, and just the other day, she was like, hey, you ever thought about getting life insurance? And I was like, well, you're the one that gets it if I die, so why are you bringing that up? And so I thought about it, and everybody's like, no, you need to do it. So I took the plunge, and I bought life insurance, so I'm just putting you guys on notice. If something happens, you need to hire a detective because there's something suspicious.
Well, they always say if something goes down, it's always the person to investigate that's the closest to her.
Yes, because she watches a lot of those Dateline and, Snapped and things like that. Snapped. So I'm a little nervous that she's up to something, but I'm taking a chance.
You're nervous? Your wife of 2 years,
2 years,
is up to something.
Because she suggested life insurance. She's never suggested that ever. But all of a sudden, it's like, hey, why don't you go ahead and click that life insurance button, Mr. Lunchbox? And I was like,
Mr. Lunchbox.
Ugh. But
so
I did
what,
it.
What's that cost you a month,
Like $6.
What's the payout?
It's more than my salary.
Yeah, get it.
Smart woman. Get your bones on Bobby
Bones Show. Monday morning confessions.
Monday morning confessions. Caitlin in Wisconsin, go ahead, confess.
So when my kids are really stressing me out, I go in my closet and I eat my Oreos.
There you go.
Oh.
It's okay.
Yeah, no judgment here.
That's all right.
You do you. Thank you for calling. Monday morning confession, Sarah in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Confess.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So sometimes before I send my kids to my mother-in-law's, I'll give them a bunch of sugar and pop so that they're hyper for her.
And that's okay.
That's funny.
That's okay.
But it's okay.
No, that's okay. Yeah. That's you do you. That's okay. Thank you. No judgment. Thank you. Victoria in Oklahoma, Monday morning confessions.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
So I have been lying to my children for 10 years now and told them I was allergic to cats because they've always wanted a cat and I'm not allergic to cats.
And that's okay.
It's a little white lie.
It's okay.
Sort of wrong.
Good for you.
You do you. That's okay. Monday morning confessions. Amanda in Central Alabama.
Good morning. I have a boyfriend of 11 years, and he thinks I'm an awful driver. And I backed over a parking lot barrier the other day, and I haven't told him yet.
And anything happened to the car?
Yes, it messed up my muffler, but I haven't told him.
You know what? That's okay.
It's okay.
I probably won't tell him.
Yeah, you do you.
He'll never notice.
Yeah, you do you. That's
him.
Okay.
That's not necessary.
No. Monday morning, you do you. You're cleansed. Brianna, Charleston, South Carolina.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
My kids think you can only go to Chuck E. Cheese if you're invited to a birthday party that's happening that day.
And why would they think that?
Just because it's too much to pick them and the run around and it costs a whole bunch of money. So they think that the only time you're allowed to go is if there's a birthday party going on for one of your friends you were invited to. Otherwise, you're not allowed in.
And you told them that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay.
Good parenting.
You know what? You do you.
Sort of makes sense.
Every parenting style is different. Yeah. You do you. Monday morning confessions. You do you. Thank you. Paige in Oklahoma, Monday morning confessions.
I wrecked my boyfriend's truck this weekend, but there was no damage, so I didn't tell him.
You know what? You do you. I'm just glad you're okay.
That's exactly how you should handle that.
Yeah, it is.
You can handle it better.
So far, I sort of like...
relate to all of them?
Yeah.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah. Feels good. We're not alone.
the Bobby Bones Show.
We'll do a couple more. Monday Morning Confessions, Eden in North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hi. For my daughter's 8 years of life, anytime she hears the music on the ice cream truck, she thinks she's out of ice cream.
Oh, that one's bad.
You know what?
That's fine.
You do you.
Yeah,
you do you. Thank you for, you're cleansed. You're good. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh.
What?
Cleansed?
I can't say that. She's cleansed. No, you share with us, it's now okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're on. Hey, Laurie.
Yeah.
Monday morning confession. Go ahead.
I went to the gym this morning, and on the way home, I stopped at McDonald's.
That's totally fine.
I had to have a hash brown.
You know what? You're cleansed, because he told us. Those calories don't count.
Yeah.
Good for you. You know what? Do you feel good? Good. You do you. Laurie, thank you.
It's like it never happened.
Yep. No more Monday morning confessions. Thank you for them. Okay. Until next week.
Show.
This kid, 13 years old, was suspended for talking back to his teachers at school. So 3 days, and his mom said, hey, you got to go work for free for those 3 days. So she went up and put up on all the light posts. He will work for free. Yard service. He will do rake leaves, mow yard, whatever you need. He gave us a call. So for 3 days, this 13-year-old is out doing community service for the neighbors. I'm reading this. That's pretty good. She put it on Facebook, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, man. That's social media. It'll get you now.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I'll ask this to you parents out there, a creative ways you've had to punish your kids. Because, again, there are certain ways that you can get with certain people, get to certain people. I mean, I even deal with that on the show with different personalities. And not punishing, but just talking to. Everybody has to be communicated with differently. But creative ways you've had to, like, punish your kid. 877-77-BOBBY. That's the phone number. Kid got suspended 3 days, and mom was like, okay, for 3 days, you'll be going out and doing it. I bet that was one nice neighborhood, though. Trash picked up. Yard mode. This kid got suspended for 3 days at school. He's 13 years old. And his mom said, okay. So she gets on Facebook, and she says, hey, my kid will do whatever work you need. Rake your leaves, mow your yard, clean your gutters. And then, just to make it worse, she goes and puts signs up on all the light poles all around the neighborhood. And I was like, man, that is a creative way to punish your kid. Becky in Virginia, thank you for calling. What's going on?
I just had something to say about how you correct your children. My son was 18, turned 18. He had just had surgery and was on crutches on his foot. And on the way to the doctor's office for his follow-up, he decided he was going to sass mouth me. And I told him that wasn't going to work. And he said, I'm 18 years old. I'm a man now. I said, okay. And I dropped him off in front of the doctor's office. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, you're a man. Call a cab.
Dang.
And he showed up at home in a yellow cab.
And that's funny.
About an hour and a half later, because if you're 18 years old, then you figure it out if you want to staff mouth your mama.
That's funny. Good call. Appreciate
and I called
you.
His daddy, because he's now this my son is now a police officer.
You taught him. Yeah, you. There you go. Yeah, probably a better cop, too. You taught him a lesson. Don't sass mouth your mom.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? This is a funny one. Hello, Amber in Iowa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling. Tell me your story.
Yeah, my two boys, they were 8 and 5 at the time, and we were at the barber shop getting their haircut, and they decided to act up, so I told the barbers to stop, and we walked out with terrible haircuts for 6 weeks.
Wait a minute, so in mid-haircut, you said, Mr. Barber, please stop, and they left with half haircuts.
Yep.
And they lived with them for 6 weeks.
6 weeks, yep, 6 weeks. And they never acted up again there.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story.
So good.
Yeah. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
That's a great story. Thank you for calling.
I'm learning so much. Taking notes.
Thank you. Let's go over to Ryan in Virginia. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, first time caller.
Hey!
So my sister is very strong-willed and really likes to call my parents bluff. So they were driving down the interstate one time, and it was my mom and my sister in the car, and my mom kept saying, stop talking to me like that. Stop acting like this. And my mom said, if you don't stop, I'm going to make you get out. So my sister didn't stop, and my mom kicked her out of the car on the side of the interstate and made her wait for my dad, who was 5 miles back. And my mom called my dad and said, you might want to pick your daughter up on the side of the road.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
That sounds really
That sounds like old school.
That's dicey.
Yeah. Like, that was hard for me.
The side of the interstate?
Yeah.
The highway?
Oh, boy.
Hey. A lot of fast cars going through there.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that one.
For dangerous. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate
okay,
you.
Right?
Yeah, she's okay, right?
Oh, she's fine.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
To this day, she like can't get on highways.
They still can't find her. Like, yeah. Okay. Ooh, yeah. Highway. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Ooh, whoa, whoa.
Ooh.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Ryan in Clarksville. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm good. I mean, it's early morning. What are you doing right now?
I'm currently driving to a job interview.
Oh, man. How's that going?
So far, so good.
I feel like you have a voice changer on, like the FBI. Your voice is so deep, Ryan, that like you've committed a crime and you're hiding. But you're just that manly, huh?
I do have a very low voice. Yeah. I get comments on it all the time.
How big old boy are you?
I'm 6'4", about 240.
That sounds about right. That's what a 6'4", 240 voice sounds like. So what's this job about, Ryan, you're going for today?
It's a district management position for Hertz Rental Car.
Yeah. You feel pretty good about it or no?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm meeting with the GM today, so hopefully he offers me the job. But.
Yeah. So, well, I'm sure you have a plan of action. I'd like to offer you a couple tips on interviews if you'd like to hear them.
I would love to hear them.
If you go in and you ask questions and you kind of take control of the interview a bit, let him get a few out, but you start asking questions one after the other, at least three in a row, he'll feel like, whoa, this dude's so prepared that he's already asking how he can make things better. Instead of him wondering if you're going to make things better, which I interview people all the time, and it's I ask question, and I go, I wonder if their answers are real. When they start asking me questions, I'm like, whoa, they want to fix things. Like, I enjoy that as an interviewer when people put it back on me. So if you have a couple questions you can ask about the job, holy cow, does it make a difference. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect. I got a lot of questions.
Good. So. Good, good. And then you got to keep the heart rate low. I have a song for that. Are you familiar with the song?
I remember it's by the White Stripes.
It right? is. So I'm going to play a little bit for you here. This is Seven Nation Army from White Stripes. You play this, and you're somehow able to get pumped up while also bringing the heart rate down. You never perform at max level if your heart rate's up. And it's hard if you're nervous, you feel in your neck, you feel in your head, your hands, your arms. You gotta get that heart rate low.
I'm gonna fight them all. A seven nation army couldn't hold me back.
Doesn't matter if you're speaking somewhere, you have a job interview. That's it. Dude, good luck. I hope you feel good about it, because you go in feeling comfortable, you perform better, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So I feel pretty comfortable. So everything should go pretty smoothly today.
Well, cool. Will you give us a call back after it happens and, you know, let us know?
I will. I think your show might be off by the time I get out. But
no, let me know. Call us back, you know, a couple days, whenever they offer you the job.
All right. We'll do.
All right, buddy. Well, good luck to you, my friend.
Good luck.
Right, thank you.
All right. See you later. There you go. There it is. Still the jam, right? That
song. Oh, of course.
Yeah. I have to figure out a new song to walk out to for my stand-up act. This used to be the song I'd walk out to.
Mm-hmm. And, new act, new song.
Yeah, new. I just knew you want things to be new.
New year, new you.
Well, I don't do, or nor do I do the shoulder shimmy you're doing as you say that.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Bobby, you're in with the trend for 2018. You're already doing it. You're doing it a lot.
Yeah, is that hanging out by themselves watching Nick at Night? If it is, I'm in.
No, but there's some fitness trends that I was reading about for this year, and boxing is at the top of the list.
I was doing it last year. Just
I know, you're ahead of the curve. You're so fashion, workout forward.
Yeah, to me, I actually work with a trainer, and we lift, and we box. But the boxing classes where I'm at are really cool. A lot of people come, and, you know, it's a big cardio thing. It's not punching each other. But yeah, the boxing's good because it's different and it's high cardio and it's actually kind of fun. And it feels like you're boxing, which everybody kind of has a dream in their mind. They at least get into one boxing match at some point.
Sure.
Don't you think that would be fun to box somebody at least once?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, never mind.
But I'm a girl. But I heard all the Victoria's Secret Angels before a big runway show, they all do boxing.
there was some motivation.
There you go. All right. I enjoyed a lot. Go ahead.
Millennials are going broke because of social media. Evidently, it's become their financial Achilles heel because people are seeing things online and social media and Instagram that they wouldn't have ever seen before regarding their friend's style, fashion, or even trips. Mm. And it makes them want it, so they go spend money on it.
That makes sense. Keeping up with the Joneses, but it's on social media instead of next door.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
And also, I buy stuff that's fed to me through my feed.
This isn't even taking into account the sponsored ads that we all get suckered into now, too. I used to find it annoying, and now I'm thinking, you're really getting to know me, Instagram. Yeah. I'm going to buy that.
Like, thanks for being a friend. I used to be scared of you, but now we've really grown. We've grown. Our relationship's solid.
Okay. Bobby, on our show, everybody, you know, we're a mix, boys and girls.
Yeah, actually, 8 people, 4 guys, 4 females.
Okay, so let's say if we were all single, what's our show dating rules? Like, would we be allowed to date on the show?
No.
No?
No.
Like, way back in the day when Lunchbox and I were both single, you wouldn't let us date?
I wouldn't keep you from it, but I would say odds are you're not going to stay together, and it's just going to be awkward, and eventually somebody's going to lose their job. Not because you're dating, but because you're just not going to be able to stand each other.
Oh.
And it's going to make the environment toxic. So I don't think I would put a rule in place, but I would say that's what's going to happen. You're gambling with it. So,
well, I'm sure every workplace has different rules, but over at Facebook, they do allow their employees to date. However, you have to have success when you ask them out the first time. If you ask them out and they say no, you're done. You cannot ask out again.
That should be in life, pretty much. Huh?
Yeah.
That being said, I'd never had any date. I've only, because I work all the time, I've only ever dated people that's been associated with work in some way. Because I dated a couple artists. Went on dates with a stylist who I met through Dirk's. Dirk set us up.
Well, you had one really long relationship where you didn't know her through work.
That's true. And that was probably the longest one. Mm-hmm. But most...
But
you always meet
else,
your people through work.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who worked in promotions back in the day. So I'm not against it. It's just if you work super, super close, it's probably not going to last, and it's going to make the relationship pretty toxic.
So you've never asked out anybody twice after
they like 9 times.
You.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, not at Facebook.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to work at Facebook. Nobody's ever said yes the first time, ever, to me.
Yeah.
What?
My wife was like, I had to ask her 5 times.
Yeah. And who wants to go out with somebody that accepts you the first time? I don't.
Because that means she's probably, or they've probably done it to hundreds of other people.
No, I don't think what that.
Oh, no?
Wait,
no.
Why, Bobby? I don't know why. Please explain.
You ever hear the Groucho Marx thing where he doesn't want to be a part of any club that wants to have him?
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Yeah, who is it?
A silent comedy actor, great writer.
Back in the day.
So his analogy was, why would I want to be a club that wants me? I'm not worth anything. So why would I be in a club that would have someone like me? The club obviously isn't worth
it. You want the clubs that don't want you, and you want them to eventually...
I want the girls that are way better than me.
Okay.
And I think I've been able to convince some girls and lovely... Somehow, honest to God, I feel like every time it's been, ooh, it's eventually they're going to figure this out.
Right. Now, we're the same. We don't know how that happens.
Oh, you mean with me?
Yeah, with you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. So, yes, there you go.
Okay, so Ben & Jerry's is launching a low-calorie ice cream called Mooforia. They're trying to beat out Halo Top, which is a super popular, healthy, or supposedly low-calorie ice cream. So Mooforia, you can start looking for that in chocolate milk and cookies, caramel cookie fix, and peanut butter dough.
Is that moo like cow? Mooforia, like euphoria?
Mooforia.
Okay. I didn't know what you were talking about. I checked out about halfway through that story, but I got it now.
Oh, well, people that love Ben & Jerry's, I'm telling them, look for the low calorie.
Got it.
Moo.
Thank you.
You don't have to like everything in my pile, but that's my pile.
That's why it's your pile. And that's it. That's Amy's pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Get your bones on Bobby Bones Show.
Okay, we are going home, but thank you for listening. You can catch up on everything. Just search Bobby Bones Show on demand on iHeartRadio. Search Bobby Bones Show on iTunes. You can listen to the whole thing. You can listen to the Bobbycast, a show I do from my house. Just search that too. All that. Thanks for being here. We would not be able to pay our mortgages or eat our meals without you listening. Right, Amy?
That's right.
We appreciate you. Thank you. We'll see you soon. Bobby Bones.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.